Members of Hellfire Club, grab your Mountain Dew, Doritos, and a 20-sided die, because it's time to go into the Upside Down. What's going on, Demo Dudes and Demo Dudettes? Welcome back into a special episode of Into the Upside Down, the bi-weekly Stranger Things podcast, where we talk everything Stranger Things. I'm Damien, and with me is my co-host, the guy who stole Joyce Byers' ATM card just so he could borrow $40,000 in cash, the great Scott.
Ahoy! Hey, I can buy a whole lot of waffles from the Waffle House with that cash.
There's a little tease for today's episode. And guys, before we get into today's episode, of course, just want to start off by thanking everybody for your love and support on all of our socials, Into the Upside Down Pod on Instagram and TikTok, Into _ Upside Down on Twitter, and of course, giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps us reach a larger audience and build out this community of Stranger Things fans. So from the bottom of our hearts, as always, we appreciate every single one of you dearly. Now, for today's episode, this is a very special one. This is our first ever interview. And, you know, for a podcast to only be, we're less than 10 episodes in and we have our first interview. It's very exciting. And our interview today is with actor Grant Goodman. You may know him as the treasurer of the Hellfire Club. And Grant is absolutely just a talented person, hilarious person. This was a really fun interview for Scott and I to conduct with him. Really great conversation, and we had an absolute blast. So once again, Grant, we just wanted to say thank you so much for being part of the show today and taking some time out of your schedule to chat with us. And without further ado, let's get into it. So welcome back, everybody. Today, we have a very special guest. You might recognize him from the campaign, but he's an actor. He's a part-time Houston Astros announcer, but most importantly, the treasurer of the Hellfire Club, Grant Goodman. Grant, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule. I know you're doing a bunch of these today. Thanks for coming and hanging out with us on Into the Upside Down.
Of course. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
By the way, how was that same play ball? Like, are you a Houston Astros fan?
I am actually not into sports whatsoever. I would say I like Joey Chestnut, and that's
American hero.
Cool that they were doing a Stranger Things day, but that was like the first professional sports game I had ever gone to. I left after the first quarter. But yeah, I'm glad they had me. Everyone was super nice, and that was cool. My friends were like, I brought with me, were much more impressed about being on the field and whatever. And I was like, I'm not crazy into sports, but it was, it was an honor to be there.
And Joey Chestnut is awesome. I don't know how he does it year after year, but it's incredible. I have like 3 hot dogs and I'm ready for a nap, and he's just like gulping them down. It's insane.
He's amazing. I don't know how they don't sell jerseys for him. I chose 76 for the custom Astros jersey they gave me, because that's his record.
That's awesome.
But I was like doing some homage to 1776, and I was like, no, I'm not a Republican.
Just a huge Joey Chestnut fan.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Stranger Things obviously is just blown up, like billions of views. Everyone's still talking about it, even though Volume 2 came out a couple weeks ago. So what was the process like of getting the role in Stranger Things? And did the pandemic kind of like throw a wrench in any of those plans at all for you?
Yeah, funny enough, so I read for Gareth, and then like a week later, they offered me my role. And I was in Atlanta, I think 2 days later. I flew in on like a Tuesday, had a fitting on Wednesday. The table read was going to be on Friday. And then I'm in Atlanta, and they're testing out all the costumes, and I'm like getting a hair test. Like, they're, you know, checking out all the different hairstyles on me, taking photos for the directors to consider how they want my hair to look. Someone comes over the walkie. They're like, all staff meeting. And I'm like, okay. I like get up. They're like, no, you stay here. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like waiting there for a while. And then like, they come back in and they're like, oh, we just got postponed for 2 weeks. Like, you know, that coronavirus going around in Asia. And I'm like, oh, I was like, is it here now? Like that, that was like on a Wednesday. We got postponed for 2 weeks, which turned into 9 months, which I joke, like our postponement gestated. that Friday was the day they like banned travel from Europe. So we got shut down like 2 days before like they shut down like entry into the country. So that was like February of 2020. And then we didn't pick back up again until October.
Crazy. Wow, such and then there's so much uncertainty. I just feels like 2020, like we blinked and it disappeared. It went away. But that year was so long. And I can imagine, like, especially you're on set, you're there. And then they say, nope, go home. And then everyone's just home for months on end, just not knowing what to do with ourselves. And then, you know, back at it in October. But that's pretty crazy. So, I mean, I didn't know that that's what the layoff was like, but you were literally in the chair getting everything done. And they're like, oh no, never mind, go home.
Yeah, it was like pretty tragic comic that was like my first day. And then the the runner's high equivalent of acting, I like to call a booking high, was kind of like 9 months long. Like it was like so surreal and people were like, no, you're not in the show. I was like, okay. I was like, I think I am. Like, I think I'm gonna come back. And then, there I was 9 months later, getting ready, went back in October 2020 and worked on the show for like a year and a half.
Nice. Wow, year and a half.
Is that how long filming actually was for you, Grant? Was about a year and a half long or?
So it was, I guess that was counting the February start date, but we picked back up in October and then I filmed in October, November, came back in like February, back in April, and then like June and July. Like they just kept peppering in days. Like that first day, like the first episode stuff, like of us playing Dungeons and Dragons, they shot like us leaving the room was my last day of work, and my first day of work was us walking into the room. So they like peppered in that garage scene and a couple other like snippets that didn't make it into the episode, but it was like pretty funny, like how it was like once a month or, even more infrequent than that, they would be like, all right, we got another shot for that same scene. Like, please come to Atlanta, get COVID tested, fly here. I was like, okay, cool.
It's an honor. The life of an actor.
Yeah.
And Graham, were you actually a fan of Stranger Things before you auditioned for season 4?
I actually hadn't seen the show. I don't watch much TV. Just by happenstance, I just tend to watch movies. So I wound up watching it after we wrapped, but I was just like, I wanted to bring my own like unique, fresh energy into the show without like having any kind of idea what was going on. I just wanted to like see what I could do with the dialogue. I didn't want my like performance to like embody kind of like anyone else's performance. And I wanted to like do something fresh. So I had no idea what was going on. Just like walked in and did the thing and there it is.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Being on set, being down in Atlanta, that whole process, what was your favorite part about being on Stranger Things?
It was the first time I had really worked with people my age. So I would say like, it was really great becoming like having friends that I could hang out with after work, like people that, knew what a meme was and I could be like, hey, look at this or. So my favorite thing was like really just like how familial it was. What an honor to like be like close friends with some of these like just massive, enormous talents we have in this show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Graham, was there anyone in particular that you were like the closest with when you were on set?
Yeah, Gaten and I keep in really good touch. We have a lot of similar interests that are like unrelated to entertainment. I hang out with Caleb quite a bit. I went to a party he had in like May, and then Finn and I keep in touch. We both like are into stand-up comedy and like kind of avant-garde films. So we text quite a bit. Joe Quinn and I are pretty good friends. I was in like London in February and he wasn't in town, but he like texted me like a pretty extensive itinerary, like on, just recommendations, which was like super touching. It was very considerate of him. And then I'm going back to London in September and in November, and I'm gonna hope to get together with him too.
Nice. That's awesome. It's really cool you guys keep in touch after, you know, even after being on set, because especially with how big the cast is, the fact that you kind of like have different relationships with various members of the cast, that's pretty cool. And like you said, like that family aspect of it, you guys were through, you know, started pandemic, got back into it. You know, it's a lot of stuff to experience with various people. And like you said, too, people your age, which in the entertainment industry, you know, I know you've obviously shared the screen with Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis, and you were just a kid back then. So being around people your own age is always a plus.
Yeah. I mean, it was, of course, that was a very different dynamic. And I was working with, you know, some of the defining, you know, comedic legends of their generation and just like massive people who like, it was such a privilege to like learn alongside them and work with them. And like, I'm very grateful for that dynamic also.
Cool.
Yeah. And Grant, you'd mentioned Finn and Caleb and Gaten Matarazzo. Was there any great behind the scenes memories that you have with those or any of the other actors or any funny stories you could share from behind the scenes of filming?
Yeah, we had Gaten had like we got together for like 4th of July. It was like five or six of us. And like, that was a lot of fun. We had a pretty good time hanging out at his place. And then Joe and I would get together and go get sushi, which was awesome. And I would say like, I had quite a lot of fun, you know, after work hanging out with these kids.
And one of those people that maybe you hung out with was Sadie Sink, who of course plays the character of Max. And she is famous this season for escaping Vecna's curse by playing the song Running Up That Hill. So Grant, if you had a choice, is there a particular song that you would use to escape from Vecna?
Yeah, it would probably be like something like loud and obnoxious that I love, like probably Bangarang, I feel like would be like a safe
choice.
Yeah, honestly. And then I was like, someone asked me this question earlier today, but I was saying if it was Uptown Funk, I would probably wake up and just like rip the, like, I'm fine. So terrible. Oh my, what an unbearable, it's like a torturous song, honestly. I do like Grenade and a couple other Bruno Mars songs, but wow. I mean, I would rather listen to Call Me Maybe in Friday for 100 hours straight than hear Uptown Funk ever again. It's probably the worst song. If I heard it at a wedding, I would probably wish a divorce on the couple. I don't know. I can't stand Uptown Funk. It's like if Imagine Dragons only made one song.
It is, yeah, and it plays at every wedding I've been to since that song has come out. It's always at the wedding.
Thunder was like when the Astros like were in the World Series or whatever, there was like a Thunder Astros remix that was on the radio every 5 seconds, and like that song is also like torturous to hear like ever. It's like I could still get into Don't Stop Believin' or Sweet Carolina or All the Small Things, like. There's a lot of like classic ones, but like, wow, brutal. Like, I actually think playing Uptown Funk at a bar is like, gotta violate one of the Geneva Conventions.
They should just remove it from touch tunes. Like, it shouldn't even be an option.
Yeah. All right, who played that flag to get out of here? So, obviously, the first time we watched Volume 1, you just jumped off of the screen with your facial expressions, the way you sold everything during the campaign in the cafeteria. And it was just so expressive and so funny. Was that like completely organic on your part, or were there any cues in the script for that, or was that just all you?
I knew I had, you know, quite a few memorable interjections, I, you know, didn't have any soliloquies or anything where I like had much room to work with dialogue. So I thought to like really have like an impactful performance, I would just like be the guy that they would want to cut to just after someone said something. And I really strove to like have a memorable reaction to like a lot of the different lines. I would, you know, kind of, we'd have like 5 a.m. call times, and I would be like listening to like Demi Lovato or Last Resort in the morning, and like, you know, just like kind of stretching out every morning, just like getting my face all ready to rock and just yeah. Like that's like definitely like a different part of like my craft that I've had to like, you know, be kind of surgical with, for it to not come off as like too cartoonish, but like to still be like memorable and like funny, you know, while still like maintaining like at least a semblance of realism, I guess, in like my reactions. I'm quite an expressive person. Like I, you know, definitely had probably one too many parent teacher conferences in elementary schools. Like, you know, teachers would say something, I'd be like, or like, you know, wouldn't even notice. I would roll my eyes or scoff sometimes, or, you know, I was, you know, in elementary school, like I was just kind of just a reactive kind of kid. And I just kind of retained that like youthful sense of reaction.
Nice.
It was definitely memorable for us because I remember Damien and I would read on social media, like, hey, like no one's showing love to Grant Goodman and these awesome facial reactions he's having. And we're like, hey, like we did, like we posted about
it. Yeah, I certainly appreciated that. Yeah, there have been a couple TikToks that have I've seen in the last couple of weeks that have been sent to me that have had like just enormous view counts and comments and some stuff that's like jaw dropping. Like someone said that I am like fat Amy, but hot. And then someone said, yeah, they were like, he's reacting like the rent is due that day. You know, like he's giving it his all. Someone was like, I don't know why, but he's serving Romeo and Juliet. Like, I've like really had a good time like reading some of the like TikTok comments. Like, yeah, people are just hilarious. And like, it's just so like touching that like, I didn't know like this would be like such an impactful performance and people would be making fan cams of me and stuff like that. And here I am, like, I feel like a K-pop star.
I mean, it just goes like so much to say, like, you know, you had you had your handful of lines of dialogue and they were great, but like the facial expressions are what people were so drawn to with your character. And the fact that you have all these TikToks, all these videos out there, just kind of celebrating your performance. And it was just such a really pleasant surprise in volume one, because it just, everything during the D&D campaign seemed like life or death. And it was just so well done. It was definitely, like we talked about on that episode of our podcast, one of my highlights by far was just how expressive and just devoted you were to everything in that world.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, that's so touching. It's such an honor. Like, I knew this show like had a massive reach. I didn't expect a lot of this. Like, but yeah, I mean, I'm so privileged and so like blessed to have gotten the chance to do this. And like, all the feedback, like I go through, I read every DM, I reply to all of them, except the really horny ones. Like someone swipes up on all my stories and they could be like, whatever, you know, like they'll like, I want to taste your teeth or like mail me your hair or like, I laugh, but I'm kind of like, what the fuck, you know?
Oh my gosh.
Have you considered mailing your hair to them actually?
I haven't, no. No, that's pretty gross. Yeah.
Totally.
Man.
I feel like, Kesha had like a necklace of like her fans. People would mail her teeth that they had removed and she made a necklace out of it.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
Kesha. Yeah, I was kind of like, what the fuck? But yeah, no one sent me teeth yet. So yeah.
But just change your PO box and they'll all go somewhere else.
Yeah, I'll just like, yeah, put my dentist address. Is that like polish them up for me. I'll have the jeweler pick them up once a month and then I'll have this blingin' necklace, you know?
There you go.
Awesome. I hope you can wear it in season 5. It'll look awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Just that's the edge I was missing, is the
the teeth necklace.
That's the je ne sais quoi that my character needed.
Speaking of the next season, Grant, you know, maybe you can possibly wear that necklace in season 5, but we know the people behind Stranger Things, the Duffer brothers and Sean Levy. How was it working with them? I know that the Duffers are kind of like stars in their own right now and are famous and all over social media. Same with Sean Levy. How was it working with all of those professionals?
So I was lucky to have both of them as directors. Sean directed episode 3 and the Duffers directed the first episode. So I mean, they're great. Sean like had some really kind things to say to me about the premiere. which like I think about every day. They were just so reassuring and comforting. He was effusive. He's such a great guy. And then, yeah, the Duffer brothers are just so visionary, and like the way how they make this show like so like surgically perfect. And you can see like just the craftful precision of like making this show is just like why it like turns out like so spectacular. Like they're so great. Seriously, what an honor to work with them.
And an Emmy nomination for Outstanding Drama Series. So
yeah, best ensemble too. I think we got one of those. So who knows? I am in the Television Academy, so maybe I'll email the right guy into like I'll be on like the bottom of the list in 8-point font, you know.
I feel like you guys definitely got snubbed on a few. Because it was just so the scale of season 4 was just so epic, but at least there was some recognition there, and you know, well deserved on all.
Yeah, so too. I think the cutoff was like the day after the show came out or something. So I think Volume 2 is actually in consideration for the following year's Emmys. Yeah. So like, I think Sadie and Joe and Millie will like certainly get the recognition they deserve. I'll vote for them, you know.
Yes. I'll
see what Joe especially, like I knew like he was just this enormous talent, and like I knew he would be an overnight success. Like just working with him, I was like, he has no idea. Like this is gonna change his life. Like he's so amazing. He was so incredible, and like his reactions were so good too. Like we were just like feeding off of each other's energy. He's incredible. Like I cannot wait for him to be like the biggest movie star in the world. So. But hey, he might be, you know, right now.
Yeah, he's, you know, I saw him, he was at like a convention and they like had 400 people that bought tickets to see him. And he took time with every single person, like didn't let the convention people rush him. Like he's huge. He's blown up now. And, you know, it's at the point where he probably just can't go out anywhere without being recognized.
Yeah. He deserves like every ounce of recognition and praise. He's spectacular. What an honor. He's like totally deserves this.
And I agree. He's like such a great guy, like in person too. Like I know you said you've enjoyed time, you know, away from set.
He's so cool. And like, I just remember this text he sent me in London was like so considerate. He was like, yeah, like, hey, mate, like, you want to stick around a couple of days? Like, I'll be back in town then. Like, would love to hang out with you. Like, you know, stick around. But like, if not, here's like how you spend like the perfect day in London. And like, it was like a extensive like guide to getting like, I was there for like a 26-hour layover. And he like gave me like a perfect itinerary, which was like so considerate. Of course, when I was in Philly, Gayton, you know, sent me a cheesesteak recommendation list.
Where did you end up?
Really? I went to, was it called Cleavers? Yeah, I had to go somewhere. My layover, I think, was like 6 hours, and I had to see a friend who went to Penn. But I went to, I think it was called Cleavers. It was like across the street from Comcast. I had to go somewhere that was like near the train from the airport because I had like limited time, but it was great. I also don't eat beef. So I'm cheating. I had like a buffalo chicken cheesesteak, but like the bread was great. I got the mozzarella sticks on it. And I feel like now I would like bother to just try, like, if, you know, when I go back to Philly, like I'll probably just go try Gino's or what do you guys recommend?
So we got, I mean, my favorite Steve's there's like a place called Ish Kibibbles as well. That's on South Street. And yeah. That's another good one. And you can actually get the, it's called the South Philly Taco. So you go to Lorenzo's Pizza and they have pizza slices like as big as like my torso. And then you get the cheesesteak and you wrap it in the pizza and they call it a Philly taco. And it's amazing. But you need to sleep for like a day and a half after you have it.
That's me. Yeah. I like love getting the Thanksgiving feeling like after every meal. That's got to keep up my figure or people, you know, make me start auditioning for action movies, and I don't want to do that. I'm happy to be the like the tech guy at the desk who like dies in the second to last scene. Like that's kind of my bread and butter. I don't really know. yeah.
All right. Well, definitely go for the Philly taco then. You won't regret it.
As soon as we saw your performance, I was like, I got to find out what this guy's character name is. There's a whole Stranger Things wiki. And then on IMDb, they just had you listed as freak number one, which I just think is just an insult to your character. I mean, come on, give the guy a name.
I appreciate that.
So on set, did the Duffers give you a name? And if you could name your character, what would you name it?
So we, like on set kept, well, also the number one thing, I think people read for a second freak and then they just never found a freak number two. So I just like got the number one on the call sheet, which is like funny, but we just kept like referring to myself colloquially as the freak, cause there was only just one, which I thought that was awesome. Like they just, there were some takes where like, they, you know, would, when we were improvising, like people would, that was what they would call me. It was like the freak, which I think is funny, but I do think it's hilarious. Like that, like all the jocks got names because like they had jerseys on.
Right.
And like me, no one just ever said my name. So there it was. I was just the freak. And then I watched the episode for the first time and I was like, number one. And then, like, which is what the call sheet said, but I was like, wow, you think like they would have, like the credits, they would have just cut the number one, because like now the cast or like casting director is going to think I was just like a, you know, background talent or something, which is like kind of funny, I guess, because I can like send them like, you know, like this 4 minutes worth of clips of like me reacting to stuff and the interjections and stuff like that. Which is like pretty funny, but yeah, I don't know, what would I call myself? I've seen fan theories. There was like someone in like the, there's like one shot where they like have a list of people when they're like doing like the witch hunt, like the town at the town hall. And there was like a Paul and like a Vince. So I've seen like a bunch of like theory TikToks that was like my name and they just like never addressed it. So like, that's funny, I don't know. I have been like an Aiden in like 3 different projects. I was a Clay in the campaign and in something else that I was cut out of. So like, I guess I've been a Clay before, I've been an Aiden before. Yeah, but Vince and Paul are funny, like, I guess. I don't know, I mean, hopefully next season they call me something and people are like, wow, like we love Mildred, you know?
Let's start campaigning right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Vince or Paul. Yeah. I hope you get a name in season 5. You know, that's because when I saw that, I was just like, oh, but like you said, every basketball player had to have a name because the jerseys and everything else. Yeah. So that's funny.
It is funny though. Yeah. I read for Gareth and then I think they were like, Gwydion's great, but they, I think we're like, we want him to like be this kind of different character with like the reactions and the interjections or whatever. That's my like personal like ego thing that I'm like, yeah, they were like, this kid really should be the freak, you know, like he's got what it takes, so he's promoted.
Promoted to freak.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that was funny. Part of me, like when we were rapping, was like, should I go ask? But I didn't, because I was like, you know, but I mean, I have read for like 10 characters that are just named Fat Fuck. So this is
flattering. Yeah, we'll take freak number one then in this case.
Definitely take freak number one. So, you know, one of the first time we see you in Stranger Things is the cafeteria scene. So like, you know, how long was that shoot? What was that whole scene like? You were talking a little bit about Joe and just walking on the table and his mannerisms, but what was that experience of being in the cafeteria there? I think that's not even like a real, it's like a defunct school now, right? But they just like did it up for the show.
I believe it's a night school, or maybe it was. I don't know if it's functional. But yeah, they, that was, I think either a 2 or 3 day shoot. It was very hot and there were we had a lot of background talent. So like it was, you know, it was noisy and stuff, but like, and it there to get all their costumes down was like so impressive. Like a lot of them looked so good. Like they're just like with the hair and the like jackets and stuff was just like so awesome. The environment was like certainly pretty immersive, I would say. I think that was like a 2-day shoot, but that was like pretty much smack dab in the middle of my schedule. Yeah, it was like, I guess the single greatest number of us there, like of everyone I worked with, like it was quite a lot of us were there together. So that was a lot of fun. And like the dynamic of us, like, you know, them getting in each other's faces, and a lot of like the synchronization stuff was like pretty precise, which like we had to get down. Yeah, but that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, one of the other huge scenes you were in, Grant, was the D&D campaign scene when Priya Ferguson won the campaign for you guys. Could you give us a little bit of background on that one as well?
I think that took 4 days. And then I think one of those days was like a year later, funny enough. Yeah, so we did like a lot of like every variation pretty much of like, oh, you know, you're upset, you just won, you just did something wrong, like, things are looking, you know, you're anticipatory. Like there were all these like different reactions, which of course is when I, you know, Grant came to play.
Yes.
Yeah. So like that was like quite a while. And like we had to, you know, there was this scene where they flipped the board over and we had to like reset that every time, which is like funny. And then, yeah, they like really, of course, we wanted to like be very precise so the like fans of the game, you know, wouldn't ratio us on Twitter or whatever. So we did like a lot of variations, and like they made sure everything on the board, like the prop masters like made sure like everything on the board looked right. Like, you know, that's how we would react in accordance with what was going on with the gameplay. But that was, there were so many different variations on that. Yeah, that took quite a while. And there were like a lot of different outtakes and improv of that. And same with the cafeteria scene. Like there, I like, you know, did a lot of improv. Like they were like, you're angry. And I would just like say something. And there were like so many variations for them to choose from, like the over my dead body. Like, I didn't know that was coming. I think I only said that once. Like I saw that alongside the rest of you, you know? and the like, yeah. So there were like a couple of pretty funny, similar to the campaign. Like we did like 100 different variations of the confession scene. they just like in the editing room, like chose whichever one like fit best with the scene, which was like pretty exciting. Cause like, I didn't see, you know, what was coming.
Right.
Yeah, I got to watch it for the first time, and like, you know, they did like, I really like how it all came together.
Cool. Now, this wasn't on the list, but the Mountain Dew and the Doritos, was that you just mime that, or did they like find like old cans from the 80s and like put stuff in there for you to drink during the campaign or eat during the yearbook photo?
Like, oh, I know there, like, there's actually some kind of like deal with Coke where I think Coke actually sends us the stuff.
Wow, that's cool.
Like, I know, like, there was the Stranger Things branded Coke when, like, the second season came out. So I'm sure we have, like, a contact with Coca-Cola. Yeah. And in Atlanta, I'm sure they just are, like, you know, go in the vault, go in the safe and get the 80s can. I did eat a little bit of the Doritos. I would say, like, that was, like, a retro bag that was, like, quite delicate that I, like.
Yeah. White glove treatment. Yep.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like maybe I did take a sip of the Mountain Dew. Nothing tasted expired. But I kind of have an iron stomach. So.
Just always curious. It was just cool seeing. Yeah, it's always cool seeing the retro stuff and the attention to detail. Yeah,
I'm like, excuse me, Mr. Magic City, sir. Where's the plunger?
I drank 40-year-old Mountain Dew.
Yeah. I drank 40-year-old Mountain Dew, and now I see this grandfather clock in the corner.
Yeah, I know, Grant, you had touched so much on Joseph Quinn earlier and how awesome he is, you know, on the screen and off the screen. But can you just talk a little bit about, you know, Eddie Munson's character and you know, how it was working with him, you know, being freak number one with Eddie on set, and maybe just a little bit about working with Joe?
Yeah, he's great. So he told me on the first day that his character was the villain. And of course, like, I didn't have any, you know, you've seen the scenes we filmed together, so I didn't know what was happening. So when I saw that he was like the hero, I was like, ah, he got me. He was like, yeah, I'm a lot of things, but like, I'm a bad guy. I was like, okay, sure. I was like, and then I watched this, I was like, oh, he's the heartthrob. That's good for him, you know. He's so great though. I love Joe. He's like so sweet, and like you just like always text me like XOXO Joe, like at the end of his text, like an email signature, which is like so cool and British and stuff. I don't know. He's really great. And then, yeah, Eddie Munson was like, I could just tell, like, the way he, like, went and got all these guitar lessons and practiced playing Dungeons and Dragons. And, like, he had a, you know, he has a pretty impressive theater background. And I could tell, like, he went through, like, a length of becoming the character that, like, just tremendously paid off. Like, I could see, like, when he's, like, walking around on the cafeteria table, I could just see, like, the precision, like, of his stride and, like, you know, kind of the mannerisms of his, like, hands and stuff. And I was like, wow, he's just fantastic. I was like, this guy's going to be everything after this show. Like, he's so great. I'm so happy for him.
Nice. So obviously he swerved you and said he was the villain. So when you found out he was the hero and you saw the death scene, like, what was your reaction to all of that?
I did know that he died. He had told me that. But of course, I was like, oh, he's the villain. He's going to die. Okay. But of course, I didn't know any of this was going down like that. So I was like, wow, he got me. And of course, like, I found out after watching episode, like, 4, you know, or earlier on, that I was like, oh, he's, like, friends with them. Like, he's not the villain. But yeah, it was funny that he said that.
You know, he's just blowing up everywhere, Grant, in terms of playing Master of Puppets, you know, on top of the trailer, he's in the Upside Down, one of the coolest things I've ever seen on Stranger Things. But part of that, him playing that, was that the Hellfire Club had a band, Corroded Coffin, and we saw you as part of that in the garage, kind of jamming out with everybody else in the Hellfire Club. So was that all you? Like, do you actually play an instrument, or was that kind of just improvised?
This is actually pretty funny. So Trey and I, who were the two guitarists, he has a musical background. He's in, like, a really successful wedding band. Hmm. Funny enough, like, the weekend I rapped and was flying back to Houston, so was he for, like, a wedding for, like, someone in, like, Houston society. He was performing at, like, a wedding the same weekend that we had rapped. His flight was, like, the day after mine, but that was kind of funny. So yeah, he's like, Trey is, like, a musician, like, through and through. And then I think Gwydion had a little bit of music experience. I had no experience with music whatsoever. We had, like, a guitar rehearsal, and I'm a lefty, and so is Trey, and both of the guitars were strung up for righties. So we had to get those restrung, which took a second. And then, yeah, I was atrocious at playing the guitar. We practiced for 8 hours, and then finally the amp started smoking. Yeah, and I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I was like, I'm going to burn down Screen Jam Studios. Like, I'm so fired. But yeah, we, like, had to, like, air it out, the whatever. And then they were like, you know what? We'll just, like, make it sound like music. Like, don't worry about it. So yeah, I could see, like, the pain in everyone's ears on set when I was like with the guitar. And I was like, oh, my bad. Like, sorry, I wasn't good at this. I was asked if I had to get a guitar lesson, like, right after I booked, and I went and got an acoustic guitar lesson because I didn't know. I was like, oh, cool. Like, I can, you know, whatever. And, like, that was, like, fine. But yeah, I wound up, like, playing the bass, and I, like, kind of got it down, like, the exact motions or whatever, but it didn't sound right. And I don't know if I'm sure I could have gotten to that point. But yeah, I have no musical experience whatsoever.
Wow, you really tricked us there. I mean, it looked great on camera.
Thank you. We had, like, I think we have, like, a bunch of musical consultants, and there were, like, a bunch of the prop people, and we had, like, there were, like, 5 or 6 people in this room when I was, like, learning how to play the bass, which was pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, I never really got it down, but yeah, I guess I'm glad I made it look good. Thank you.
That was probably one of the last scenes we saw you was that scene that you were actually playing the bass in the garage. But as the season kind of wrapped up, there was a lot of chaos going on in Hawkins. There was, you know, a huge earthquake that tore through the town, a lot of chaos. But talking kind of purely speculation here, do you think Freak Number One, your character, survived the earthquake?
It was pretty funny. So I, like, of course, was credited for episodes 1 and 3. And then in episodes 2, they have that yearbook photo, mm-hmm. That we're featured in. And then they reused the photos from that shoot in episodes 5 and 6. And I was like, oh, that's funny. And, like, my agent called and was like, they owe you more money for using that. I was like, okay, great. then I was like, oh, maybe like I'll be in episodes 8 or 9. And then I was really relieved to not see myself on the missing persons wall in episode 9. I was like, oh, luckily they didn't use my photo again.
There you go.
So yeah, I guess not. We'll see. Hopefully there's more of my story left to tell.
Jeez,
that's what we wanted to hear.
We're praying every day.
Once we saw that scene, I mean, we were sweating. I'm like, geez, like, there's no way that they can ever find any of the, like, it's so ambiguous just how many lives were lost because of that. So just absolutely crazy. And I mean, you know, now that Dustin's taking care of the sheep, as Eddie would say, he definitely needs his treasurer by his side. So
yeah.
Definitely not on the missing wall. That I didn't even think about that, but that makes sense. So very, very cool. So, so speaking about, like, you know, props and things like that, were you able to keep anything from your experience on set of Stranger Things? And if not, what is the one item that you would have just taken with you?
I didn't elect to keep anything. I never wear warm clothes. I don't own anything long sleeve. I don't own a leather jacket. The earrings were super painful. I didn't ask to take anything. Like, I figured they wouldn't have let me. What would I have taken? I don't know. I had this, like, pretty cool wallet thing that, like, I put my phone in, you know, because I didn't have my phone with me, of course, in the 80s. So that was pretty cool. I don't know. I think the jeans were kind of sweet, but again, would never wear long sleeves. I was in Iceland in February, and people were like, because I was, like, wearing, like, sweatpants and a t-shirt, you know.
So, if you, aside from your character, could be any other character in Stranger Things, who would you be and why?
I would definitely be 11. I'm way more into waffles than pancakes. I'm like a waffle absolutist. Like, I think the texture of pancakes is just kind of fine. I'm quite into waffles. I was in Belgium a couple months ago. I can't say I had anything else while I was there. I think the furthest I deviated from eating a waffle was having a waffle sandwich with gelato.
I love it. So a lot of people would say 11, but your reason is just completely different from everyone else's. And I love it because
Thank you.
I am right there with you on the waffles over pancakes, like 100%.
I have to agree with you guys too. Grant, have you ever been to a Waffle House?
Yeah, of course. I was there on Sunday. Yesterday. Yeah, I have. There, where I grew up, they were quite a hike. But of course, if I didn't want Whataburger, we were still keeping the night alive, we would, like, go to the one in Greater Houston. And then, of course, in Atlanta, you know, I'd get off at work sometimes at midnight or whatever. And the choices were to go get wings, carry out from Magic City Strip Club, or Waffle House. And occasionally, I would choose Waffle House.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was super funny. My like, one of my first nights, I'm like in the hotel and I like text a couple of my friends who grew up here, and I'm like, what's a good late night food? And they were like, I don't know, check Uber Eats. And I saw, like, Magic City wings. I was like, okay, did pick up. I walk up and I'm like, I'm wearing Crocs. I'm wearing, like, Crocs and, like, a yellow shirt and, like, shorts. And I'm like, hey, like, he's like, I gotta wand you down. I'm like, okay. He's like, can I see your ID? I was like, okay. He was like, you've gotta be 21. I was like, I ordered carry out. He's like, oh, okay. Like, I walk into this, I think what seems to be, like, one of the most famous strip clubs in the country. I think, like, some NBA player broke out of their, like, Disney World bubble to go get wings from here. Oh, anyway.
Right. Yeah.
That was the last time I've been there in Crocs. I went there, like, on Tuesday. Their wing, Magic City, actually has incredible food. But every once in a while, when it was too late to get Magic City wings, I would get Waffle House.
There you go.
It's always open 24/7. Besides waffles and Waffle House and Magic City, is there any other big takeaways you've had from your entire experience with filming Stranger Things?
I would say, like, being in like a big ensemble is like really special. Like it's really great to work with like a lot of people. I mean, there's, you know, doing like smaller ensemble close-knit stuff is like a different kind of energy, but like being a part of something like so big and like important and special is like a really exciting thing. Like that, you know, we have, there's like 40, 50 of us like in the, you know, cast, and like that's really exciting. You know, it's like just like the grandiose feeling is like just so like wondrous.
Yeah, I think I heard you mention on another podcast that there was like 400 crew members or something at a time. Like just insane how big of a scale everything is.
Yeah, I mean, it's seriously awesome. Like, I mean, to pull off something like is, you know, that incredible. Like we have so many people like that work so hard, that are so creative and inventive and quickly solve problems and just have like, just execute like the, you know, vision of the show, like in such, like with such perfection, honestly.
I agree. So obviously, you know, you're just soaring up in popularity now. People are going to be looking for you more and looking for different projects that you're going to be a part of more. So, you know, aside from Stranger Things, is there any other projects you have in the pipeline that you can talk about or you want to tell us about?
Yeah. Next month, I have another Netflix show coming out with, it's an A24 series created by Mo Amer and Rami Youssef. It's going to be on Netflix on August 24th, which I think is a Wednesday. I'm a guest star in the second episode. It's actually set in Houston. So it's, which is where Mo grew up. I like ran into him at a bar like 3 weeks ago. Yeah, he's like, it's, you know, it's a dramatized or comedicized, if you will, like his life story about just like him growing up in Houston, which is like really exciting because it's my hometown. They filmed in like the, you know, neighborhood city hall that's like six blocks from me where I grew up. They filmed at my, you know, favorite restaurant to order lemonade. Which is pretty exciting. Like they, you know, it's just like really cool because they really haven't made anything like exciting in Houston since like Rushmore. So it's like just like going to be this really exciting and hilarious like ode to our hometown. So that's going to be awesome. I'm really, it was really like, that's, I did a very different character with that. Yeah, that's like A24 and Rami Youssef just like have this like touch of gold, and Netflix, of course. I love my corporate overlords. Netflix and A24 and Rami Youssef have like this real like touch of gold. So I think I'm like really excited to see this show too.
Cool, cool. I'm definitely going to be on the lookout for that one.
Thank you. Yeah, it's called Mo and it comes out August 25th.
Awesome.
Definitely. Yeah, we're going to have to check that out for sure. And Grant, just so anyone else can find you, did you want to share your social media handles or website or anything where people can find more about you?
Sure. My Instagram is Grant S. Goodman. Grant Goodman asked me for $5,000 for the username, and I was like, sir. And then I luckily got Grant Goodman on Twitter, which is my favorite social media. So that's where I would recommend.
Cool. All right. Well, Grant, once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come on our podcast and just chat with us about your experiences with Stranger Things. Hopefully we didn't ask too many of the same questions that you've already been asked before and might be asked later, but we really appreciate just your thoughtfulness and just taking time to chat with us and hang out.
Yeah, of course. So happy to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Well, we'll let you get to it, I guess.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks so Grant. Much,
Grant. Appreciate it.
Take care, man. All right, guys. So that was our interview with Grant Goodman. We learned a lot about Magic City. We learned a lot about Waffle House and just the overall vibe and experience of being on the set of Stranger Things, which we would love to be a part of someday. We will drive down there. We will stay at a hotel. We will whatever, just to be background talent.
And we'll make sure that we do not play Uptown Funk when yes. Grant is anywhere near us. We do not want to harm his ears too much.
Yeah, that was really great. And you know, once again, Grant, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to chat with us. And, you know, it means a lot to us and definitely, you know, gives you or gives the listeners out there a great chance to get to know who Grant is. And obviously, just from our conversation, really, really cool guy, really down to earth, absolutely hilarious. And we wish him nothing but success. And obviously, based off the popularity of Stranger Things, that seems like it's in the cards for him going forward.
Thank you, Grant. You're the best.
All right, guys. So we really hope you enjoyed this special episode of Into the Upside Down. This was a really fun interview. It was a great time for all three of us, I would say. And yeah, you know, per usual, guys, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, give us a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify. It helps us reach a new audience so we can keep growing out this community. If you would like, follow us on our socials, Into the Upside Down Pod on TikTok and Instagram, and also Into_Upside Down on Twitter, which we know now is Grant's favorite social media platform.
And feel free to send us an email as well to intotheupsidedownpod@gmail.com and share your theories or any thoughts on Stranger Things, and we'll be sure to share them on the next episode.
Also, guys, if you leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcast, we will definitely read them on the air, just to give you guys a little bit of a shout out and a thanks from both of us for supporting the podcast. And I think, Scott, you do have one to read today.
Yes, we have an awesome review sent in by Demo Dude Alec Vergara. Thank you so much, Alec. He wrote in that it's so fun to tune into this podcast. He says, I'm only 2 episodes in on their show, but it's great and fun to listen to. As probably the biggest Stranger Things fan out here, it's great to hear their thoughts and predictions. Man, if you guys read this review, would love to be a guest on the show to talk about Stranger Things with you. So, Alec, definitely please send us an email, reach out to us on social media. We can get in touch and we can make that happen. And thank you so much for the 5-star review. And thank you for listening. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, we really do appreciate all the interaction with everybody on our socials. It just kind of keeps us going, gives us a little bit of motivation. And we love the conversation and the dialogue that we have with everybody out there that is just like us, a couple of Stranger Things fans.
Before we move on, I wanted to give a big old birthday shout out. Can we say his last name? Damien, everybody. It's his birthday on July 21st. Come on.
I'm almost Stranger Things canon, technically.
Come on, guys. Put him on Stranger Things 5. He's a big fan. Come on.
There will just be a random baby after the time jump, and I'll just say that was me.
It's almost time for you to be born.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Scott. I appreciate that, man. So that's it, guys. That's all we got. Really hope you enjoyed today's episode. Take care, everybody. And remember, friends don't lie.
See you, nerds.